This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my brothers and sisters. In this session of Unplugged, myself and Dr. Muhammad Salah would like to talk about Islam. Many people are turning to Islam, which is a great thing. But did you know that Islam teaches you every single detail of your life?
Yes, indeed. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I have been following closely the stories of those who have accepted Islam in the recent days. After they inquired about the Quran to know what is making the Palestinians so patient and enduring these calamities patiently. So some of them would even comment on one verse of Surah Al-An'am and say, this verse was a turning point in my life. The conclusion to these stories that they have found that the Quran is not just a divine book that teaches how to maintain the relationship between you as a servant and the Creator. No, rather it's a very comprehensive curriculum and way of life. It regulates the relationship between the servant and the Lord, and between the servants and the rest of the creation, whether human beings, family members, loved ones, enemies, non-Muslims, and even animals and other living creatures.
Subhanallah. You know, if you look at ibadat and mu'amalat, and you look at huququllah, huququl ibad, when it comes to acts of worship, that makes a huge segment of Islam. And you have your dealings with one another, that makes a huge segment of Islam. There are so many fine details that you will find in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in Islamic teachings that will govern your day-to-day life, the way you look, the way where you should look, how your gaze should be, your clothing, how it should be, the thickness of the material, the way it should cover you, and so on. Your relationships with those who are close to you, those who are distant, your family, those who love you, those who do not, those who are perhaps from a different faith, from among your relatives, the distant, those whom you deal with, those whom you don't deal with, and so many other things.
Now, for many of those who do not know the fact that the Quran and all the previous revelations have been revealed by the same Lord, the Almighty Allah, I'm talking about the genuine revelations which have not been altered and before changing them by people. So for instance, we as Muslims, we believe that the Torah is from the Almighty Allah, the original text. The Gospel is from the Almighty Allah. And the Quran is also from the Almighty Allah. And all the messengers of God have been preaching the same thing, which is, اُعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship Allah alone and do not associate with Him any in worship. We also believe that the only revelation which have been preserved, and it is not even subject to altering or changing, is the glorious Quran. And it's a living fact. 1500 years ago, the Quran was revealed. 2.1 billion Muslims living today follow the same version. There are not any other versions. There is not even another version. It's only one version, which we have in our hands. Here, you might have a translation in English, the meaning of the Quran, or in French, or in Urdu, or in Persian, or in Dutch, or whatever. The Arab represent in the Muslim Ummah, which exceeds 2 billion Muslims, they only represent less than 18%. Can you imagine? So 82%+ of Muslims are non-Muslims, but they read the Quran in the same language it was revealed, and they understand it according to their mother tongue from the translation of the Quran. They follow the comprehensiveness of this message.
You know, one of the things we as Muslims believe was changed in the previous scriptures, and we actually do believe the previous scriptures were changed. One of the evidences of it is the mere amount, or should I say the sheer amount of
versions,
and you know, among themselves, I remember a debate between someone who was saying that, you know, this is unaltered, and a Muslim was saying, no, it's actually the Quran that's unaltered. So he says, well, why don't you read this Bible? So the Muslim said to him, well, if you can all agree as Christians on one Bible, then we can read it. But if you are arguing amongst yourselves as to which one is the right version and so on, then that reduces the authenticity of the book. And I'm saying this respectfully. So one of the things that I've come across that we as Muslims believe is definitely changed in the previous scriptures is the way the scripture itself insults the messengers sent by Allah. They blame Prophet Lot, may peace be on him, for doing dirty acts of incest. They say dirty things about David and Sulaiman, Solomon, may peace be upon them. They have spoken bad about Moses. And there are verses that actually say how the evil acts that were committed by some of these people. We as Muslims believe all of that is not true at all. These were amazing men chosen by Allah to come with His message. Allah would never choose and has not chosen those who are unrighteous, because who would listen to them anyway? These were beautiful men. Look at Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was known as As-Sadiq Al-Amin because it was preparation for the coming of the revelation. If he was not known as an amazing person who was truthful and honest, how were people expected to believe what he brought? If you look at his best friends, all became Muslims in the first band of those who turned to Islam because they knew him. So these are some of the things that were definitely changed in the previous scriptures. And that's why the value of it is reduced. And we always tell people, look, come to the Quran. One of the things you will see, it is amazing and unique. Now, there are people who speak about the Quran and say that there are verses of violence in the Quran. Dr. Muhammad, what do you say?
Well, I've been actually invited to many debates in churches, synagogues, universities in North America. In one of those debates, as we were talking about the authenticity of the revelation and why Muslims perceive the Quran as the only living divine book, I asked the priest, and he was a very respectable person. He had a PhD in theology. I still remember his name, and I said, Dr. Ben, in his church, how many versions of the Bible that you as Christians have? He said, well, Muhammad, hundreds, maybe thousands, you never know. I said, this is exactly what we're talking about. And they were shocked to know that all Muslims with their diverse backgrounds, their different mother tongues, no matter where they're coming from, whether they live in the USA or Saudi Arabia or Egypt, they follow the same book. It was very impressive. And that has made a lot of people change their mind, whether they actually accepted Islam because they realized that that should be the truth, or they are considering accepting Islam. In another debate in one of the biggest churches, when people were throwing questions at me, look what the Quran says, it incites violence and so on. So first of all, we agreed that we should not take things out of context. Show me the verse which is troublesome for you. So when they presented the verse, I said, why don't you read the verse before and the verse after? And we were able to resolve the problem. Immediately right on the spot. And when we finished, I said it was pertaining to verse 199, chapter number 2, Surah Al-Baqarah. And now it was my turn. I said, would you please open this? And I opened the Bible, Deuteronomy and Joshua, particular verses, particular chapters. And I asked the priest himself to read it. And as a matter of fact, he was very offended because he had to read things which are very offensive, not inciting violence. They could never be said by God or even by a sane human being. So one of the priests, as we were arguing, and this is your book, which is inciting great violence and genocide. What did he say? He said, well, we don't believe in this part anymore.
We no longer believe in it. Yes,
exactly.
I heard that as well. So if it was the word of God, how do you no longer believe in it? And secondly, whenever I've read scriptures, other scriptures, I always ask myself, can this really be the word of God? Is this really? And I invite others, you know, like people of other faiths to say, when you read your text, you must ask yourself, can this really be the word of God? Especially when it is vulgar and immoral and really, speech that even we would not speak that way. You know? So it's something really interesting. So
I'm sure yourself and all Muslims do what I'm going to say. I gather my family members, we pray Fajr and we sit and we recite Quran. Sometimes I shed some light on the meaning of the verses for about an hour or so. We enjoy this session. There is no segment in the Quran which I'm ashamed to recite or to explain to my children and family members. I have boys and girls. I have 3 years old, 5 years old, 9 years old, and 19 years old. And I have my wife. So when we open the Quran from cover to cover and we recite, it boosts our iman. It makes us better human beings. It makes us better servants to the Almighty. There is nowhere in the Quran where you feel, oh no, oops, I cannot read this before my daughters or before my girls because it's vulgar. But that is actually present in all the different versions of the other books.
Yes, that's true. May Allah make it easy. And also what I've realized is when it comes to Islamic teachings, like we said at the beginning, everything regarding your life, the detail of it is present in Islam.
Very comprehensive.
You know, when we say Sharia, a lot of people, they say Sharia, Sharia, and you know, they think that it's cutting hands and executing people and so on. Whereas it is a comprehensive system and way of life that guides you towards even your monetary dealings in a way that you maximize your profit and everyone is happy. There is no deception, no cheating, no stealing. Similarly, what you eat, what you drink, what is bad for you, what is good for you, how to sleep, when to sleep, what is better, what is not better, how to pray, all of that is part of this Sharia.
Yeah.
So it's something unique.
For instance, with regards to the monetary system in Islam, humanity have tried for so long communism as a financial system. And the outcome was devastating, where a lot of people were beneficiary or fewer beneficiaries, and the rest led a very poor life. Capitalism, on the other hand, it is proven to be very oppressive. You know, vast majority of people graduates, they want to serve the corporates, the big corporates. And only those who have the big capital sum are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. When you read throughout the Quran, whether in Surah Al-Baqarah or in other chapters of the Quran, in Surah Saba, in Surah Al-Hadid, you will be amazed how the Quran regulates this monetary relationship, building blocks in any community, even if they are not Muslims, and they follow the Islamic guidance in this perspective, they prosper. 2008, there was a mortgage crisis in the States, in North America, which affected the entire world. It was towards the end of the session of George W. Bush II. He had to sign a bill where he stated that the interest rate should be 0%. I said, Allahu Akbar. This is exactly what the Quran says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى
وَيُرْبِي
الصدقات. The family relations has taken a huge part in the Quran. There is no other book which contains a whole chapter which is named women. Yes. The whole chapter, which is one of the longest, one of the most comprehensive, is called An-Nisa, chapter number 4 of the Quran. It stated the rules and regulations of inheritance. Before that, women used not to inherit. Rather, they were inherited as objects when the husband dies. It regulates the process of marriage and divorce, and it stated all the rights of women when they didn't have any, whether in the Roman Empire, the Persian Empire, or even among the Arab in the peninsula. There is a whole chapter which regulates the process of divorce in order to secure full rights for the divorcee, the woman when she's divorced. When any woman would read what God has stated for the divorced woman in the Quran, she will be amazed. There is another chapter in the Quran which is named after Mary, peace be upon her, the Virgin Mary, Jesus' mother. Where does this exist in any other book? That's why it attracts many non-Muslims to refer to Islam, especially nowadays.
Subhanallah. You know, it's regarding Surah An-Nisa, and I'm just thinking to myself that nowadays, a lot of the people who get married, they tell their wives that, let's go in 50-50.
Yeah.
You know, so you give half of everything and I'll give half and we go in 50-50. But Islam and the Sharia actually teaches you that you as a man should take care of the financial needs
100%.
Of the home. 100% of it. Mm. And you know, when it comes to inheritance, like you were saying, people say, they don't look at the fact that Islam was the first to actually give and declare the inheritance for women. They just say, but why does she get less? Actually, what she gets is a token because she will always be taken care of by the closest male relative.
Not only that, she only gets less in two cases, while in 30 other cases, she will get
more.
An equal share or even more, or she will inherit and block the counterpart of the males.
So the reason why I'm raising this is people pick on little things without knowing the broader picture, without the study of it. And then you have people arguing. I've seen some people crazy on social media arguing about Islam. It's worthless debating with them because they want to pick one point and they don't want to look before or after. If they really researched, they themselves would turn to Islam. You know, one of the experiences I've had, Dr. Muhammad, the person who swears the most, he swears the religion the most, is more likely to turn to Islam than the one who's just, you know, not interested
and silent.
Silent. Yeah. Because
they come
with
to
him,
know.
No, what happens is he needs to study in order to find the fault. And when he studies, he doesn't find the fault. So he softens. You know, we had Brother Arnold Van Doorn, if you remember.
Yes. He and his son accepted.
Yes, Islam. They accepted Islam. And these are guys who were crazy against the Prophet ﷺ.
And you know, interestingly, they shared the stage with us to preach Islam and give da'wah.
Exactly. So they were making movies and so on against the Prophet ﷺ. And then they found that, you know, what we're doing is not even truly depicting this man. When they started looking into the seerah and Islam and so on, anyone who looks into it to find fault, Allah Almighty, if you are sincerely looking, you'll find actually that there's no fault. But
absolutely.
If you're looking with hate, then you won't even see the glaring sun in front of you.
Well, accordingly, the Muslim scholars and scientists who are able to deduce what is known in Islam as Sharia, or the Islamic law which regulates the family ties, and that's why there is a whole section in fiqh, Islamic law, which deals with the fiqh of family, beginning from the process of engagement, choosing the life mate, the suitor, marriage, the dowry, having children, the rights of the children upon the parents, the rights of the parents upon the children, the rights of the spouses upon each other, which is presented in the most eloquent word ever, when God says in the second chapter of the Quran, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Very comprehensive, very short and brief, most eloquent. So the wives have rights similar to those which are due upon them. It's give and take. It doesn't only go one way. Mutual rights and obligations. Then they were able to deduce what is known as the fiqh of ibadat, regulating the acts of worship, how to observe the acts of worship as God the Almighty wanted, not as you like. And that's why Islam stands as the most unique in this regard. In all other religions, people worship differently. It is very difficult, maybe impossible, to trace the original and the most genuine act of worship accordingly. But in Islam, if you find a Muslim in Russia praying, or in China, or in North America, then you trace him, you will find him praying similar to Prophet Muhammad 1500 years ago, following the footsteps in eating, in drinking, in having an intimate relationship, in giving alms, in performing Hajj. And also they were able to set a section for the fiqh of finance.
You know something amazing, you mentioned intimacy. Many people are actually surprised that Islam teaches you how to be intimate and the do's and the don'ts, and how it's something pure, yet it will be enjoyable. It is something that is governed by the teachings in detail. You know, I remember once there was a brother who was one of the da'is, and a pastor gave him a lift and told him, you're a Muslim. He says, yes. He says, tell me one thing unique about your Quran. So he looked at him, he said, about your religion. So he looked at him, he says, well, it teaches me how to wash after I've used the toilet.
Allahu Akbar. That's true, Allah.
And this guy was shocked. He said, I never imagined that you would say that. He says, that is something you don't have, you know. And a lot of people think, you know, about the toilet paper and how it actually makes matters worse, you know.
Yeah.
You're wiping all the filth back on the rest of your behind, you know, and so on. But Islam teaches you to use water.
You know, in this modern world where they're talking about the personal hygiene, that is lacking completely, the hygiene, personal or public.
If you look at hygiene, actually Islam taught hygiene. And at a time when the rest of the world was nowhere near, so many things where Islam was way ahead. It's just now that everyone's claimed it and pretend like, oh, that was us. You know, no, it was actually, if you look at it and look at the history of it, it started off with the Muslims. A lot of the things, it's just amazing how things have developed.
Brothers and sisters, this is a very serious matter and a very vast as well. One or two or even 20 sessions are not enough. So we'll continue talking about it for the next a few sessions, insha'Allah Azza Jal, until you say we've benefited a lot, and hopefully a lot of non-Muslims and those who are curious and those who are interested will benefit out of that. So we spoke in general about the comprehensiveness of Islam versus other religions. From the next sessions, insha'Allah, we'll be talking about specific cases mentioned in references and elaborating on it. For the time being, we have to wrap it up, give you a break, and also give Mufti Mink a break, and we're having a session.
Inshallah. But if you follow the hashtag unplugged and you ensure that you don't miss any of these sessions, we would like to go into a few interesting things by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.